All right, so today we're diving into the world of international trade,
Oh, yeah.
but not the usual stuff. We're
Yeah.
tackling dumping.
Interesting.
When countries or companies flood a market with goods at like ridiculously low prices.
Okay.
We've got a stack of articles here
Yeah.
about different types of dumping, accusations against China, and even how the WTO tries to keep things fair.
So with dumping, it's not just about scoring cheap stuff, right? It can actually trigger these chain reactions across entire
Oh,
industries.
yeah.
It impacts jobs, even national security.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. We'll be looking at how something seemingly simple as selling things cheaply can have these like massive economic and political consequences.
Okay, so let's just start with the basics. What is dumping?
Right.
And why would anyone do it?
Well, dumping is essentially when a company or even a country exports a product at a price that's lower than what they would charge in their own domestic market.
Interesting.
And sometimes it even means selling below the actual cost of production. Yeah, and why they do it can really vary. Sometimes it's about just grabbing market share, even if it means taking a loss initially.
Like they're kind of betting that they can muscle out the competition and then jack up prices later.
Exactly like a strategic gamble.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So are there other reasons?
Yeah, other times it's about getting rid of excess inventory. So rather than letting products just sit and lose value, they'll dump them overseas at a discount. And
So
then,
that's not necessarily bad, right?
well, it depends. This is where it gets controversial. It can be a way to deliberately crush competitors with predatory
I
pricing.
was going to say that sounds a little bit more nefarious.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, proving intent there has got to be a nightmare.
It is.
How can you tell if a company is being ruthlessly competitive or just engaging in good old-fashioned, undercutting?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Especially with persistent dumping.
Persistent dumping.
Yeah, where it's not just a one-time thing. Like a company consistently sells at lower prices abroad. Is it really dumping or are they just more efficient? It's a blurry line that sparks a lot of debate and trade disputes.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Well, one of the articles you sent was talking about China being accused of dumping steel a few years back.
Right.
They painted this picture of China having this massive steel surplus, something like 800 million tons,
Wow.
just flooding the market.
Yeah.
That's a lot of steel.
It is. And that specific case really shook things up globally.
Really?
We saw factory closures in places like the US and Germany, job losses.
Wow.
It was a very stark example of how dumping can ripple beyond just prices.
So what was China's alleged motive in that case? I mean, were they just trying to unload extra steel, or is there something more strategic going on?
There were accusations that China's focus on production volume, sometimes at the expense of market demand, led to these huge surpluses that they needed to get rid of. It raised concerns about their economic strategy and whether it created like an uneven playing field for other countries' industries.
So they're basically exporting their overproduction problem.
Right.
But doesn't that hurt their own domestic producers in a way?
That's an important point. It's not just about the receiving country, right? Excessive production can depress prices even in the dumping country, hurting their own producers' profits and potentially leading to overcapacity in the long run.
Okay, so dumping isn't just bad for the countries on the receiving end. It can backfire on the dumpers as well.
Definitely.
Speaking of specific examples, there's also that case about the UK investigating Chinese excavator dumping, right?
Yes, that one involved JCB.
Oh,
A
yeah.
major UK-based excavator manufacturer
Bro.
raising concerns about Chinese competitors undercutting them significantly on price.
Wow.
The UK's Trade Remedies Authority actually launched a full-blown investigation.
And what did they find?
Their investigation concluded that Chinese excavators were indeed being sold at substantially lower prices than UK-made ones, leading to the UK excavator industry losing market share and sadly jobs.
So what can be done in situations like that? Do countries just have to sit back and watch their industries get undercut?
Not necessarily. There are ways to fight back, and that's where the WTO comes in.
Okay, the WTO.
They've got this whole system for resolving trade disputes and making sure everyone plays by the rules.
So tell me more about the WTO's role.
Sure.
How do they help countries deal with dumping?
Think of the WTO as a referee in the global trade game. They have these dispute settlement procedures where a country can file a complaint if they believe another country's dumping. They have to provide evidence of both dumping and that it's harming their domestic industry.
Okay, so if the WTO agrees that dumping is happening, what can they do about it?
One tool they have is authorizing the affected country to impose anti-dumping duties on the dumped goods. These are essentially tariffs specifically aimed at leveling the playing field by increasing the price of those imports.
So it's a way to make those dumped goods less attractive to buyers and give domestic producers a fighting chance.
Exactly. Sure. Of course, it can be a double-edged sword.
I hope so.
Well, while it protects domestic industries, it also can make those products more expensive for consumers.
Right.
Plus, there's always the risk of retaliation.
Oh.
The other country might slap tariffs on goods from your country.
Sounds like a delicate balancing act.
It is.
But what if instead of just reacting to dumping, countries try to discourage it from happening in the first place?
Now, that's thinking strategically.
Yeah.
There are definitely proactive approaches.
Like what?
Things like negotiating trade agreements.
Okay.
That include specific anti-dumping provisions or even investing in their own industries.
Oh, okay.
Make them more competitive.
So it's not just about defense, but also about building a strong offense.
Right.
Making sure your own industries are innovative and efficient so they're less vulnerable to dumping in the first place.
You got it. It's about creating a win-win situation where trade is truly fair and benefits everyone involved.
This is all really fascinating, but I'm realizing there's a lot more nuance to this dumping thing than I initially thought.
Absolutely. It's a complicated issue with no easy answers.
Yeah, yeah.
But understanding the different types of dumping, the motivations behind it, and the tools countries have to address it is crucial for navigating the global economy.
Well, you've definitely shed some light on things for me.
Good.
But before we get too deep into solutions, let's break down the different types of dumping in a little more detail.
Okay.
I'm curious to understand the distinctions and how they might require different approaches.
Absolutely. Let's unpack those three main types.
Okay.
Predatory, persistent, and sporadic, and see how they play out in the real world. So we've talked about dumping in general, but let's break down these different types.
Okay.
Because they're not all created equal.
Right. First up, we've got predatory dumping. Predatory dumping, the most aggressive and arguably the most controversial. It sounds kind of ominous, like something out of a business thriller.
Right.
Corporate shark attack.
Think of it like that.
What makes it so different?
Predatory dumping is about intentionally selling goods at rock bottom prices.
Okay.
Even below cost.
Really?
With the specific goal of driving competitors out of business.
Wow. So they're willing to take a hit in the short term just to dominate the market in the long run?
Exactly.
Scorched earth.
Yeah. And that's what makes it so hard to prove.
Right.
It's all about demonstrating intent, which is a legal nightmare.
Yeah, I bet.
How do you definitively prove that a company's low prices are specifically designed to eliminate rivals?
Right.
Rather than just being competitive?
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
Are there any real-world examples of this where action was actually taken?
There have been some high-profile cases,
okay,
but they often get bogged down in legal battles for years.
Yeah.
One that comes to mind is the U.S. imposing duties on Canadian lumber.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the early 2000s.
Okay.
The U.S. claimed Canadian lumber producers were benefiting from government subsidies.
Okay.
Allowing them to sell lumber at unfairly low prices in the U.S. market.
So even between close trading partners like the U.S. and Canada?
Right.
Things can get pretty heated when it comes to dumping accusations.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened in that case? Did the duties work?
Well, it's a long and complicated story with appeals and counterappeals dragging on for years.
Oh, wow.
The duties did have an impact, raising prices for Canadian lumber in the U.S.
Okay.
But it also led to trade tensions
right.
and arguments about whether it was truly dumping or just a case of two different pricing models.
That's messy.
Yeah.
All right, so we got the aggressive shark attack of predatory dumping.
Right.
What about persistent dumping? Is that more like a slow and steady erosion of competition?
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
Persistent dumping is more about consistently selling at lower prices in a foreign market, sometimes for years.
Really?
Yeah, and this is where those blurry lines we talked about earlier come into play.
Right, because how do you tell the difference between persistent dumping and a company just being more efficient than its competitors?
Exactly. Is it dumping or is it just a reflection of their superior technology, lower labor costs, or economies of scale?
It's a good question.
It's a tricky question, and it's one reason why persistent dumping cases are so difficult to resolve.
Are there any specific examples of persistent dumping that stand out?
Well, the case of Chinese solar panels a while back is often cited as an example.
Okay.
Chinese companies flooded the global market with solar panels at prices that many Western manufacturers just couldn't match.
Wow.
It led to accusations of government subsidies giving Chinese firms an unfair advantage,
Okay.
sparking a wave of anti-dumping measures from countries like the U.S. and the EU.
That sounds familiar. I remember reading about that case. So those anti-dumping did they work? Did they actually level the playing field for solar panel producers?
They definitely had an impact. But it's debatable whether they fully solved the problem.
Right.
The duties did raise prices for Chinese solar panels.
Okay.
But some argue it also slowed down the adoption of solar energy in some countries.
Oh, wow.
It's a complex issue with no easy answers.
Okay, so we've got predatory dumping, which is like a sudden attack.
Right.
And then we got persistent dumping, which is more of a long game.
Yeah.
What about the last type, sporadic dumping?
Sporadic dumping.
Is that just a random occurrence?
Sporadic dumping is more about taking advantage of a particular situation.
Okay.
It's often driven by the need to offload excess inventory.
Okay.
Maybe because of overproduction or a sudden drop in demand in the domestic market.
So instead of letting those goods go to waste, they send them overseas at a discount.
Think of it like a flash sale, but on an international scale.
Okay.
It might be a one-time thing or it might happen periodically.
Right.
It's generally considered less harmful than predatory or persistent dumping.
Right.
Because it's not about systematically undercutting competitors.
But it can still cause disruptions. Right. Mm-hmm. I imagine if a market suddenly gets flooded with a bunch of cheap goods, even temporarily, it can throw things off balance.
Absolutely. It can still impact prices, hurt domestic producers, and even distort the market.
Okay.
But because it's less strategic and more about responding to immediate circumstances,
mm-hmm.
it often doesn't trigger the same level of scrutiny or trade disputes as the other types.
Okay, that makes sense. So we got our three main types of dumping: predatory, persistent, and sporadic, each with its own unique characteristics and challenges. It seems like the WTO has its work cut out for it trying to keep things fair in this complex global trade environment.
You said it, the WTO plays a critical role in setting the rules of the game, providing a forum for countries to air their grievances, and ultimately trying to ensure that trade flows as smoothly and fairly as possible.
But as we've seen, even with the WTO's involvement, these dumping disputes can drag on for years, sometimes even decades. It seems like a never-ending battle.
That's the nature of international trade, unfortunately. It's a constant process of negotiation, enforcement, and adaptation as new challenges emerge.
Speaking of challenges, one of the articles you sent mentioned that the EU has been grappling with a surge in imports from China.
Right.
Even despite a general decline in imports from China.
Yes.
It raised concerns about potential dumping across various sectors,
mm-hmm.
from automotive to metals to chemicals.
That's a fascinating development.
It is.
It shows that even in a globalized world where supply chains are complex and interconnected.
Right.
The issue of dumping continues to be a major concern.
What were some of the specific concerns raised in that case?
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the products that sparked those dumping concerns?
Well, the EU saw a massive spike in imports of certain Chinese goods,
okay.
even as imports from other countries were dropping.
Yeah.
For instance, imports of motor vehicles with car chassis from China skyrocketed by a staggering 327%.
327%.
Can you imagine that kind of surge?
Wow. That's not just a slight uptick. That's a tidal wave.
Hmm.
What about other products?
Metal products like steel alloys also saw a dramatic increase,
okay.
rising by 100%.
Wow.
And chemicals like biodiesel weren't far behind.
Okay.
With imports surging by 24%, these numbers really set off alarm bells for European producers.
I bet that kind of influx could completely disrupt a market.
For sure.
So what did the EU do? Do they just accept those imports or do they launch investigations?
They took it seriously, especially given the concerns about potential dumping.
Right.
The EU initiated a series of anti-dumping investigations into these sectors to see if there was enough evidence to justify taking action.
Okay, so they were gathering information, trying to figure out if those low prices were due to legitimate competition or something more nefarious.
Exactly.
What kinds of factors would they be looking at in those investigations?
They'd be diving deep into the numbers,
okay.
comparing the prices of those Chinese goods in the EU market.
Right.
To prices in China's domestic market, they'd be looking at production costs, export prices, shipping costs, and any government subsidies that might be giving Chinese companies an artificial advantage.
That's a lot.
It's a very detailed analysis.
It sounds like a lot of economic detective work.
It is.
But what about the impact on European companies and workers? Were they seeing real-world consequences from this import surge?
Absolutely. European producers in those affected sectors were feeling the heat.
Okay.
They were struggling to compete with the lower-priced Chinese goods,
Right.
and some were even forced to cut production and lay off workers.
So it wasn't just a theoretical concern about unfair competition. There were actual jobs and livelihoods at stake.
Exactly. And that's why the EU takes these dumping allegations so seriously.
Right.
They have a responsibility to protect their domestic industries from unfair trade practices that can damage their economy and workforce.
It sounds like a tough balancing act.
It is.
On the one hand, they want to promote free trade and keep prices low for consumers. But on the other hand, they need to ensure that their own industries aren't being unfairly undercut.
You've hit the nail on the head. It's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
And that's what makes these dumping cases so complex and challenging to resolve.
So what happened next in those EU investigations?
Yeah.
Did they find enough evidence to justify taking action against China?
That's a great question. And it leads us into the next part of our deep dive.
Right.
We'll delve into the outcomes of those investigations, explore the EU's unique approach to tackling dumping,
great,
and examine the wider implications for global trade.
We've been unpacking some pretty intense dumping cases.
Yeah.
From steel and excavators to solar panels and even garlic.
Oh, yeah.
It's clear this isn't just some abstract economic theory.
Right.
It has real-world consequences for industries and workers all over the world.
Absolutely. And those EU investigations we were just talking about,
right,
they really highlight how dumping can create these ripple effects across entire economies.
So we left off with the EU trying to determine if those massive imports from China were legitimate or a sign of dumping practices.
Yeah.
What do they ultimately find?
After a lot of scrutiny, the EU did find evidence of dumping in several of those cases.
Really?
Yeah. They determined that certain Chinese goods were indeed being sold at unfairly low prices, causing significant harm to European producers.
So what do they do about it? Do they just slap on some tariffs and call it a day?
Well, it's not quite that simple.
Okay.
The EU, like many other countries, has a multi-pronged approach to dealing with dumping.
Okay.
They imposed anti-dumping duties on some of those Chinese products.
Okay.
To level the playing field.
Right.
But they also emphasized the importance of dialogue and cooperation with China to try and address the root causes of these trade tensions.
I was going to say, because simply slapping on tariffs can lead to retaliation and trade wars, which ultimately hurt everyone involved.
Exactly.
So I guess the EU is trying to walk that fine line.
They are. And they also take a unique approach by considering what they call social and environmental dumping.
Social and environmental dumping.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means they look beyond just the price of the goods themselves.
Okay.
They factor in things like labor standards.
Okay.
Environmental regulations.
Right.
And human rights.
Interesting.
When assessing whether a country is engaging in unfair trade practices.
So they're acknowledging that dumping can be driven not just by economic factors, but also by differences in social and environmental standards between countries.
That's right. It's a more holistic approach.
Right.
Recognizing that trade should be fair and sustainable.
Okay.
Not just cheap.
It's like they're trying to create a more level playing field, not just in terms of price, but also in terms of ethical and sustainable practices.
Exactly. And they're not just sitting back and waiting for complaints to roll in.
Right.
The European Commission actively monitors the economic and political situations in countries that export goods to the EU, looking for early warning signs of potential dumping risks.
It sounds like they're trying to be proactive rather than reactive.
Precisely. And they encourage European businesses to use this information to make informed decisions and lodge complaints if they believe they're being harmed by unfair trade practices.
So it's a collaborative approach.
Yeah.
With businesses, governments, and international organizations all working together to try and keep things fair.
That's the ideal scenario. But even with all these measures in place, dumping remains a persistent challenge in the global economy.
Right.
And the WTO's role in resolving these disputes is more crucial than ever.
But we've heard that the WTO itself has been facing some challenges in recent years.
It's true. There's been a lot of debate about the WTO's dispute settlement system.
Okay.
And its effectiveness in dealing with complex trade issues like dumping.
So what does the future hold for anti-dumping measures? Do you think they'll become more or less important as the global economy continues to evolve?
That's a tough question. Globalization is a double-edged sword. On one hand, it creates more opportunities for trade and economic growth.
Sure.
But it also opens up more avenues for dumping and unfair competition.
It seems like it's a constant game of catch-up, trying to stay ahead of those who might be trying to exploit the system.
You got it. We might see a shift towards more preventative measures.
Okay.
Like early warning systems and stricter enforcement of international labor and environmental standards.
Interesting.
It's about addressing the root causes of dumping rather than just reacting after the fact.
So it's not just about punishing those who dump,
right,
but about creating a global trade system that's fair and sustainable from the ground up.
Precisely. And ultimately, it's about recognizing that trade isn't just about numbers and profits,
right,
but about people.
Yeah.
It impacts jobs, communities, and the environment.
Well said. I think we've all gained a much deeper understanding of the complexities and consequences of dumping today.
Yeah.
It's definitely not a simple issue,
yeah,
but it's one that we can't afford to ignore.
Yeah. Absolutely. And by understanding the nuances of dumping, the motivations behind it, and the tools available to address it, we can all play a role in shaping a more fair and sustainable global economy.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener. Thanks for sharing your expertise and insights with us.
It's been a pleasure. Remember, knowledge is power. And by understanding these complex issues, we can all make more informed choices as consumers, citizens, and participants in the global marketplace.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive.
Ooh.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep into the issues that matter most.